After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pitch. Swing and a long drive, deep left, way back, gone!
Welcome back to another Baseball America podcast. It's your host, Jeff Ponce. Today we are talking Arizona Fall League. It's kind of a hot sheet podcast because I have my accomplice, my favorite bear out there, Josh Norris.
Which other bears are in the running? I need to know my competition.
Smokey.
Smokey's actually a low-key firebug. He doesn't want you to know that, but it's always, you know, the cause you trumpet the loudest is always your darkest sin.
Yeah, that's why I like him. I like dark bears. Cocaine Bear would be number two. And then Yogi, because he steals picnic baskets.
Well, that's also true, but he's a common criminal. I don't know how to feel about Yogi. The cleanest bear of all these was Cocaine Bear, who was just on the low working for the DEA.
He didn't know, you know. He thought it was food. He didn't know.
And it is.
Well, welcome back. Josh just spent 2 weeks out, just about 2 weeks out in the Arizona Fall League. You got some instructs. We got some articles on the site on that. We're not going to talk about that today. You can pay your money. You can go and check it out on the website. Today, we're going to talk about AFL, guys. You've done two hot sheets now. Week two dropped today. We're recording this on Monday. We've seen some interesting names. I think you've seen every Arizona Fall League team at least twice. Some of them three.
Probably. I didn't really keep track of it like that, but there were only a couple days where I did one game. So I think, there was only because the schedule for the Fall League was different this year, where there were some days where you could only do one game. All the three games were at 6:30, and that's by design, because farm directors kind of run the Fall League, and I believe they wanted to avoid day games after night games a lot. If you're playing in Glendale and then you have to take BP at 10 a.m. in Scottsdale the next day, they don't want to deal with that. That's also part of the reason the day games now are not at 12:30, but at 2:30, which, is different from recent years. I don't know how many times I saw every team. I saw Salt River a lot because there were a lot of early games in Salt River, because the way the schedule works, there's a lot of early games in Salt River, and then there are no games in Salt River because they have another event. And then most of the games shift to Mesa, so you'll get a lot of Sloan Park action toward the end. But yeah, a long way of saying I don't know how many times I saw everybody, but I saw a lot of fall ball.
So let me put you on the hot seat here for a moment, if I can. Didn't discuss this question off air, so you can tell me to shut my mouth. But who's the best player that you saw out there? Who was the guy that stood out to you the most? Could be somebody that, maybe you didn't know about or one of the prominent names. But
First of all, shut your mouth.
Okay.
Second of all, I think it's probably a tie between Tiedemann and Jobe. They were both really impressive. I got both of them twice, and I didn't expect what I got the first time out of Tiedemann, just because, as you've made note of, he hadn't gone very deep in starts most of the year, and the first outing was five innings. Oh, holy crap. Not only does this guy not usually go five innings, but usually in the first week of the Fall League, nobody goes that long. So that was a surprise on a couple of fronts, and he was pretty darn dominant in three pitches, nastiness from all angles, big time fastball, sweepy slider thing, changeup. It was really, really good. And the second outing was the same. Five innings, pretty dominant. three pitch mix. He looks, I mean, I think I said to someone, you know, a lot of these guys you're going to see next year in the big leagues and or the playoffs. If the Blue Jays make the playoffs, I would be very surprised if Ricky Tiedemann's not a part of it. And then Jackson Jobe, I knew about him obviously, but I'd never seen him, and he's, you know, dealt with injuries before, so I didn't know what to expect, except probably that he would be the best golfer in the fall league given his father. But he was pretty darn good too. Four pitches, repeatable delivery, mid to upper 90s fastball, high spin slider, a little cutter in there. Nice changeup he can work in every now and then. He did pretty well too. And he was one of two pitchers I saw throw with such effort that their hat fell off. So bonus points there. So yeah, I'd say Jobe and Tiedemann were tied as the two best guys I saw in the fall league.
Interesting. Yeah, and two arms, which isn't necessarily what
I said. The fall league strength in recent years has not been – it's been pretty public that the fall league's high-profile prospects haven't been the same. Like in 2017, the Braves contingent, at least in part, was Austin Riley, Ronald Acuna Jr., and Max Fried. And oddly enough, Fried at that point I don't think was the highest-profile pitcher. That was Touki Toussaint. Because of the name, obviously, but he was a big deal. Fried has eclipsed him just a bit. And Riley will always go down in memory. This is a tangent. But in that same year, Lourdes Gurriel, another big leaguer, check swing. I was filming BP when they let you get right up on the cage. She check swing in the cage, which you'd never see. And it went right into my phone, which went right into my lip. And I have a little scar on the top, my upper lip as a result. For that game, I had an ice pack on my lip and a radar gun in my hand for like 5 innings or something while the bleeding stopped. So fast forward to the next season, Gwinnett comes into Durham and I go talk to Austin Riley about his general Austin Riley-ness. And he said, "Hey, you're that kid who got hit by Lourdes Gurriel's check swing. I remember that." Well, first of all, I'm not a kid. I'm in my mid-30s, sir. But yes, that's me. So that's my Austin Riley story, and a long way of saying that the Braves sent a hell of a contingent back in 2017. And the league has gotten a little less high profile in terms of prospects since then. Last year, Cardinals sent Jordan Walker and Tink Hentz and somebody else whose name I'm forgetting right now. They had a pretty good group.
Mason?
That's the one. Mason Wynn. Thank you. They sent all three of those guys, and it was pretty good. This year, I don't think there's a real standout group like that, but who knows? Maybe there will be in a couple of years, and we'll look back and say, hey, the Guardians sent Chase DeLauder and Kyle Manzardo, and look at them. They're the Bash Brothers in the big leagues right now.
If only. But that segues a little bit nicely.
Yeah, I said it.
I know. But can't we just let the people not know that?
A magician always reveals his tricks, right? That's how it works.
Oh, Joshua. So Chase DeLauder, talk to me a little bit there. Obviously, I've been. So a lot of them on the Cape Cod League and but it's been a while. It's been a few years now. So how's old Chase DeLauder looking?
Well, he's looking well. He's looking quite well. I said to some scouts out there that, you know, I know the old adage is we're not selling jeans here. That guy could sell jeans. That is a 6'4", 235, and looks every bit of it. That is one of the better bodies you're going to see in the AFL. Holy goodness. And he puts some charges into baseballs. He does hit the barrel a lot. He hasn't shown it up in quite the numbers that everyone out there, you know, your Jacob Marcis have, but it's been really impressive to hear the loud noises that he's making off his bat. I could see why you liked him. It's not the most conventional swing in the world. It's not a swing that Tom Emanski would teach, although I don't think he taught swings, but it works. And I kind of parallel baseball swings to golf swings, you know, Bubba Watson swing and Jim Furyk swing work just the same as Tiger Woods' swing. They're all very different. It's if you can get to the points you need to be on time, then I really don't care. So, and it's working quite well for Chase DeLauder in the AFL. And when he does get it, like the home run I saw him hit, where I think the numbers were 440 off the bat and 108 on the exit velocity, if I remember correctly, and they looked every bit of that. Just an absolute firecracker on impact and just on a clothesline out to right field at Surprise. That was very impressive. That was a couple innings after Manzardo hit his own. And so it was the Bash Brothers day for the Cleveland Guardian boys.
Yeah. Both of those guys really, you know, interesting players. You know, obviously Manzardo is another one who, for different reasons, but sort of needs this AFL to raise his profile. DeLauder, it's obviously been the injuries and some questions about, you know, him beating up on high A competition when, you know, he was, despite the smaller school background, an advanced college hitter and player. And then Manzardo, you're sort of looking at a player here where after a really good standout, in fact, 2022, things came back down to earth a little bit in 2023, and you saw that sort of firsthand in Durham. Did you notice any changes? And I know I'm putting you in a spot here again, but you notice any changes about Manzardo, anything
No.
he was doing differently from when he was with the Rays?
No, not really. I mean, except hitting the ball a country mile. Like, with the Rays, I just never saw it, ever. Like, I saw him however many games here at the DBAP, and he never unloaded on balls like he did in the fall league. Like, that first home run I told you, he went down and got something and put it off the batter's eye in Surprise, and that was 448 off the bat. And when when I think it was Jesse Borick with MLB, told both those gentlemen that Manzardo had 8 feet more of home run, there was little dance was done. And then the next, I mean, I think this the last day I was there, maybe the second to last day, he hit one 460, which was just an absolute missile, just crushed off the bat. And, you know, I had said to, this is a little tangent too, Zach DeZenzo hit one earlier in the week, which I had told Zach was, I think I've been doing this in my 10th fall league. That's the farthest ball I'd ever, the hardest ball I'd ever seen hit, I think, just on sight alone. And then Manzardo goes and says, well, top this. It's just an absolute moonshot, which if he's playing in Durham, that probably hits off the building out in right field, which I've never seen done. So, yeah, he was hitting balls certainly with more impact than I'd ever seen in Durham. They were a fun watch whenever I got to see the, who are they? The Mesa Gang. Mesa Gang?
Yeah.
Yes. I never remember. That's the thing. I've been out there for 2 weeks. I don't remember who's on which team except the obvious ones. Where, like, you know, Mesa has the Cubs. Scottsdale has the Giants. Salt River has the Rockies and the D-backs. You know, little guys. But, yeah, that was kind of what I saw from Manzardo, who was, you know, out there kind of for the same reason as DeLauder. They both had injuries this year. Manzardo was really unfortunate because he got named to the Futures game, and then the day before he was supposed to leave, he kind of landed awkwardly at first base on a slipshod pickoff throw and did something to his shoulder and didn't get to play in the Futures game. So,
and I think those guys were Peoria, actually, aren't they?
Yes, they are the Peoria.
When you said it, I was like, I actually don't think that's right.
They are the Javelinas because the Javelinas had a lot of prospects.
I think when you're there too, because they don't have like a set like uniform.
It's no.
Like you remember them like individually. Like I feel like it's different than going to see minor league A team versus minor league B team, and they have uniforms and names and you know.
But it's funny else. Because like you know you mentioned that there was 1 year I think it's 2019 where they all had uniforms. They were the
yes,
yes, and people hated that.
Oh, hated it.
Oh my good! I had a couple of scouts ask me before, like the first game, like, are they gonna? Because they were taking BP in like Mesa and whatever. They were not taking BP in their parent club jerseys. Are we gonna do this again? Please tell me we're not gonna do this. Please tell me they get to see them in Cleveland jerseys or whatever. And that's what they played in. Yes, if you see my video, you see Jackson Jobe in a Tigers jersey, Ricky Tiedemann in a Blue Jays jersey, yada yada yada.
Yep. Exactly. All right. Well, you know what? This is a good time, Josh, for us to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website. I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. All right, Josh, I saved a couple of the more off the radar, under the radar. You pick your colloquialism.
I don't know how radars work.
Yeah, whatever radar you want to, it might be over, under, I don't know. It's somewhere. It's not in the middle of the radar. It's adjacent to it. But two names here who have performed early. I believe they are the two players who have led consecutive AFL hot sheets over the first 2 weeks. The first one being the Padres outfielder Jacob Marseille, a Chippewa, a Central Michigan alumnus. Talk to me about Marseille, because he seems to be one of the hottest names right now in AFL. People are asking about him. They want to know about Marseille. So
yeah, talk to me. All he really does is hit. Like it's not like, you know, overwhelming hit or power. He's just hit and hit and hit some more. While I was out there, and I did see his like only bad game. I think the last game I saw him, it was like 1-for-5 with 4 punches or something. But yeah, he'd been making all sorts of line drive contact, and you know, I really not much more to say about him. He's just been hitting, man. He leads the fall league in most categories, in most offensive categories, and heck of a start for him. I know he's one of the guys that jumped up on the radar for the Padres, and will probably land pretty highly in their top 10 when we release the NL ones here soon ish.
So,
and then Liam Hicks, oh my,
yeah.
That first day I saw him, I mean, I was vaguely aware of him, you know, and he went 6-for-6. Which hasn't happened in the fall league since 2009. And hat tip again to MLB Pipeline research staff for coming up with the name. But the last guy who went 6-for-6, that was Jose Tabata, who I covered as part of my first baseball covering, my first professional baseball covering job. My first covering job was 2006, Eugene Emeralds. That was an internship basis. But then when I got to Trenton, he was part of the outfield of dreams with it was Jose Tabata and Austin Jackson and Colin Curtis. So Austin Jackson obviously had the best career of those guys, but Tabata had the day in 2009 in the fall league where he went 6-for-6, and so did, you know, Hicks. He faced his old mate Tekoa Roby and got a hit off him, and then I think he got a hit off Cooper Jerpy and some other guys. But I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then the next time I saw him, He went 3 for his first 3, like 9 for his last 9. What the heck?
Yeah. Then he walked.
Then he walked, and then he punched. And then the other day, I think probably Saturday, he went 2 for 2. So as I was writing Hot Sheet, I was prepared to put Manzardo number one because he hit that bomb, and I think he had 2 or 3 bombs this week. I was like, you know, guy hits 900. I'm going to go ahead and put him at the top.
Sure.
He makes one out all week. I'm going to go ahead and put him at the top. And he's just a guy that should be on the radar. It's not, you know, like he's not going to wind up in the top 10 or anything in that system.
Yeah.
But he hits. It's sure. Just an under-the-radar bat. Really impressive.
And what type of players are these guys? So like Marseille, you know, I know he's hitting for some power. The power numbers, even during the season, weren't bad. The underlying exit velocity data is like real bad. So he's really interesting to me, like a lot of these guys, because it's like he's getting the most out of all of his contact. It seems like he's pretty twitchy too and speedy. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, he's just
center field guy.
I don't know if he's that, but you know, they also have other guys on that team that can play center field.
Sure.
DeLauder for one. But yeah. I mean, also the exit velocity thing is important. And part of this also is the AFL's pitching is never really the greatest. So that could be that. But we'll see. I mean, I don't have a strong take on what he's gonna be. I'm never gonna replace Stephen A or anybody like that without having a strong take.
Yep. But Skip Norris?
I know. I've been called that before for one of the most mild takes in the history of man. But yeah, it was impressive, but not like, oh my God, this guy needs to be on the top 100 sort of impressive.
Okay.
And yeah. I also think there was a couple of days where I saw Peoria where he didn't play. So that was unfortunate luck of the draw.
Yeah.
But yeah, Liam Hicks, wow. That was, I don't think I'm going to see a guy go 9 for 9 over a 2-game span anytime soon.
And how did he look in the field?
He was fine. Who? Hicks?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fine. He wasn't, you know, wasn't the worst back there. He wasn't Yadi Molina back there.
That's okay, though.
That's, yeah, it's not Yadi Molina or bust back there. But, well, he held his own, and he, you know, it's, part of it was he got to catch, at least the one game I saw, he got to catch his own pitchers. Like it was Zach Kent and Mitch Bratt and one other guy. Okay. That was day one of three of my Zach Maxwell hunt.
Did that ever come to fruition? Yeah.
It did. He was the eighth inning of my last game. Finally got him. And then my camera failed. For part of the inning, I think it caught someone's hair and decided that's what I wanted. So I had to like really scramble. I took half that outing on my phone, and then in between pitches or hits or something, I took out the battery of the camera and put it back in and refocused, and I figured it out. But I was apoplectic.
Yeah, it's always brutal when that happens, when like this is the guy and my camera's gone.
Well, like that particular camera had been giving me crap all year. Like it's usually an open side camera, and I'll come back and I thought the problem was it was too hot. But sure, that's not it, because it was like in the 70s in that particular game. It comes back and it just at some point just decides to stop focusing. So it's like everything looks like you rub Vaseline on the lens.
Yeah.
Makes it completely unusable. But Maxwell was wicked.
Yeah.
That, you know, it wasn't, you know, he did allow some, I think, a lot of run or hit or something like that. But the fastball is as advertised. It plays really, really well. And you can, you know, run it and sink it and do all sorts of things to it. And the breaking ball was pretty interesting too.
Yeah.
Then, I was very happy because I was, you know what, this is the guy I've been crowing about wanting to see for however many days, or you know, before the trip. Yeah. And then he pitched on the 5th and didn't pitch again until the 12th. I was like, oh, I should. I watched surprise that day Liam Hicks went, because I thought, okay, he'll pitch today. Nope. Okay, so I go see surprise the next day, which was a little out of my way because it was the one I stayed on the east side. It was the one game on the west side, so I went to see them. I was like, all right, I'm definitely getting Zach Maxwell today. And it's going to be great because it's surprise. And it's, if you know surprise, the media can go down a floor and shoot through the gate and you get a perfect line of shot, especially if you're using the slow-mo camera. Like if you saw my Ricky Tiedemann slow-mo whiffs, that's how I did it. I went down because the seats at surprise are elevated. But if you take the elevator down to the first floor, you can go stand there where at the gate where all the pitchers come in and the umpires come in, whatever, and you just shoot through the fence and you get really great views with like great batter's eye backdrop with the cactus and whatever. But okay, so he didn't pitch that day. That was the day that surprise or the the surprise pitching staff kind of exploded, unfortunately, or imploded really. And then the next day I was like, okay, last day, gotta get him. And I thought, okay, this has to happen. And it looked like it wasn't going to happen. And it finally did. I see this big old boy coming out of the bullpen with the Reds jersey on. Yes, finally, my life is complete.
Oh, yeah. I got him a lot summer of 2021 in the Cape. And he was always a fun take. Anytime he came in, it was like, I feel like, especially when you have a league like the Fall League or the Cape, where there's a lot of players sort of in and out of the game, you're going to get lineup changes that you usually wouldn't get in a typical minor league game or a major league game or a college game. You're going to get a lot more pitching changes. You got a lot more starters that are going maybe 2, 3, 4 innings. So, you know, I think at some point, maybe you've seen a few guys before, especially if a scout is sitting on a team. Maxwell was a guy that even if you had seen him before, all attention, like it seemed like everybody honed in at that point when he came into the game. He's one of those guys. And, you know, I think for good reason, it's spectacular stuff.
Like, yeah,
the breaking ball is good and the fastball. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a massive human who just comes right at you with fastballs that move and dance and shimmy and shake like nobody's business. It was really fun. And then Emiliano Teodo came in after that, and he's also pretty fun.
Yeah, very much.
It's interesting because I was having a conversation with one of their PD guys. Well, I saw Teodo in July. And if you know about Emiliano Teodo, he throws very, very hard, you know, 97, 99, 100, 101. But he went 5 innings that day and didn't get a single swing and miss on the fastball, which seems hard to do when you throw at that velocity. And I kind of made a mental note. Well, come to find out that right after that start, the Rangers said, no more of this four-seam fastball. We're taking it away from you. We're giving you a sinker. And I hadn't seen him since then. And so I had said to Bill Mitchell, the god of Arizona, freelance photographer, the mayor of everything good, that I saw this guy. Okay, yeah, he throws really hard. You shouldn't get excited. He doesn't get swings and miss with the fastball. Well, first pitch, 98 out of the hand, swing and miss. Dive moves down and in on the right-hander. Okay, well, this is new. And he struck out like one or two guys in that inning, and the fastball was moving all over the place and getting swings and misses. I'm like, well, something's different. And then out of the blue, the Rangers reached out to me and said, hey, what'd you think of Teodo's new sinker? I'm like, well, it was filthy. I can't imagine a bigger difference between two fastballs than the one I saw in July against Winston-Salem, where they just were not swinging and missing at it, to this one where it had the life it needed to get the swings and misses. So it was really fun last couple innings of my trip, and now we're at the hardest part of the year, which is waiting for next year's fall league.
Yeah.
It's only 12 months until October, Jeff.
Well, I'm going to have a 24-month, you know.
I'm preaching to the wrong choir here.
Yes. I don't get to go this year, unfortunately. But I'll be back next year, and I'm sure I'll be on the road enough next year throughout the season. So no biggie. But, yeah, so you're preaching to the wrong choir on that one. I'm gonna be so sad when
but here's the thing,
FNAS is going on just because all my buddies will be out there. And
but for you, I think Arizona Fall League is fun for you, but it's Arizona Fall League to me is like the Rule 5 draft for JJ and the Cape for you. Like It would be like if you didn't get to go to the Cape. Like,
you know.
You don't even try.
I'm going to Cape this summer. It's Peter now, man. Peter's the guy.
No.
It's him. It is.
It might be, but like you love the Cape. You love the nightlife. You love to boogie out at the local Dunkin' Donut shop. You're never going to shed your reputation as mayor of the Cape, or at least co-mayor of the Cape. So Fall League is my territory where I sweat my butt off from 9 a.m. till 11. Eat a lot of grill, see a lot of birds, do a lot of fun things, and generally live my best life. And I know there are several scouts out there who, if they are listening, are cringing at the idea that the Fall League is my best life. But it truly is.
It's your life, Josh.
It's my life. I do love waking up every day going, you know, I can go to a 9 a.m., 10 a.m. Instructs game, then a 2:30 Fall League game, then a 6:30 Fall League game. And the only worry I have is, will my camera run out of batteries?
It's beautiful.
And it does. I was not prepared for 3 games. So there was some.
I'm going to get some backup battery packs. I have 2 backup battery packs at all times.
Well, so you carry 5 packs with you?
No, I carry 2 and I have 3 cameras.
Right. That's the thing, is I have 3 cameras and 3 battery packs that I use.
My open face cameras are Canons, and the battery life on those things, Josh, is tremendous. I can do about 14 innings in a day on those on one charge.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I can't.
They're unbelievable. My Sony dude is done by, like, that camera you're holding.
Yeah.
Minicam is done by like the 7th inning.
And correct. That's exactly correct. I have these 2
external battery.
And this old war grizzled veteran here, which you can see, which podcast listeners can't see, is held together. It's held together by duct tape. There's a crack here, and then this old mother scratcher, it has to have a special cord to connect to the battery.
Yeah. So
your cameras are superior to mine, which mine would be done by the 7th inning, although these Fall League games and the Instruct game went really quick in the first week.
Yeah.
It does not sound like that trend is continuing in the second and third weeks. There was one day where I saw an Instruct game and a Fall League game in the morning and then the afternoon. There were 3 total runs scored. And in the Fall League game, it was 0-0 until a walk-off home run by Billy Cook. Then in the nightcap, it was 18-11. So it was like, oh my. Things have changed. Things done changed, as Biggie might say, or did say.
And it does often change like that. And some of those games can go on forever when the ball's really flying out of the park. But
yeah, or pitchers aren't finding the strike zone, or both. Yeah,
or both. But you know what? Let's wrap this up. You've given the people a half hour of powerful AFL insights. So I say we wrap this up, Josh. Thank you for joining me. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. This is Jeff Ponce for Baseball America. We'll talk to you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.